These words of Jesus come right to our heart today. Do you love me? This Mass is also an opening Mass for a confirmation retreat. So these words, although are pointed at every one of us in a special way, I would like our confirmation candidates to really pay attention to this question. Do you love me? Peter's response is not a public response. It is asked in public, and he responds openly. Our relationship with Jesus Christ cannot be just this private thing between me and Jesus. It's got to be a response that is lived. No matter how much popular culture wishes our response was something that is just private, no matter how much government agencies wish that Christians wouldn't profess their faith in public, our faith is public. How we live our lives, the choices that we make, the movies that we watch, the music that we listen to, the friends that we have, how we spend our leisure time, all of these are actions that show our faith. Our religion is really at the core of who we are. So we have to ask, am I living what I profess to believe? It's the core of our identity. If we desire heaven, if we desire eternity with God, we've got to live it. We've got to profess it to the world with all our lives. Imagine some authority figure, a government agency, someone coming in and saying, okay, no more Packer outfits, no more Brewer caps, no more Cubs outfits, no more Cardinals? No more Cardinals stuff, Dr. Mark. I'm sorry. No more Badgers. No more Hawkeyes. No more nothing. You cannot profess this anymore. These sports things are out. Imagine the public outcry. But where is the public outcry when they come and they say, no more Ten Commandments? You can't put that on the courthouse. The nativity set that's on your courthouse lawn, get rid of it. Prayer before football games or before basketball games? No, no, no. Prayer before school? In a public school? Are you kidding me? No. How about in a Catholic university? A moral professor in a Catholic university losing his job because he dared to teach the moral commandments of the church. That marriage is between one man and one woman. That homosexual unions are illicit and are opposed to God's plan for His children. You cannot teach that abortion is taking of a human life. These things are happening in our world today, and it's only going to get worse. If you can't do these things in Catholic schools, what about in secular institutions? The disciples face their own persecutions, and they show us how to respond. In our first reading from the Acts, the apostles were out preaching, they were out doing miracles, they were out living their faith, but they're a threat. So the Pharisees and the chief priests come after them. They send their guards to arrest them. They were ignoring the earlier warnings that the chief priests had given them, something very few would have been willing to even risk. Because the chief priests held all the cards. Whether it was politically, they had the Roman soldiers at their beck and call. Whether it was within the synagogue, they could kick them out. And they could use the Roman authorities to keep them out of the synagogue. It didn't matter where they were. But the disciples tell them, we must obey God rather than men. And yes, political authority and businesses and leaders, they've all got their proper place. But it's their proper place. Ultimately, we must obey God. The apostles have a message for the Sanhedrin and for us that despite their sin, despite their crucifying the Lord, despite our sin, despite our malice, and despite our jealousy, God's plan will not be frustrated. His love and mercy, the very thing that the disciples were the witnesses of, will prevail. We learn that from the disciples that even in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of being flogged, by obeying God rather than men, they will experience, and we will experience, a joy that is so profound it will take us beyond and through anything that the world can throw our way. We see the same thing in our gospel. The disciples are frustrated. You know, they're hanging out in the locked room and Jesus would just show up and then he'd be gone. They didn't know when he was going to come back and when he was going to disappear. He appeared to Simon Peter. But now he's gone. So Simon Peter, he does what comes natural. Going fishing. And so the others join with him. And they go out and they work all night and they catch nothing. Not until they respond to the word of God that is spoken to their hearts. And they make a tremendous catch. And they bring this catch to shore. And they find Jesus standing there by a charcoal fire. It's around a fire that Peter denied Christ 3 times. And it is around a fire that Jesus asked him to reaffirm his love for him 3 times. And that too is a great confidence builder for us. Because we realize that Peter was the one that Jesus taught. Jesus called. Changed his name. He was the rock that he would build his church upon. But Peter was far from perfect. Just a few days ago, we read on Holy Thursday night, "Lord, I will never leave you. Even if I have to die for you, I will be with you." Until 2 or 3 hours now, and then I'll deny you 3 times. Before the night even ended, he denied him. And for the people at that time, this number 3 was very important. The angel singing at Christ's birth, "Holy, holy, holy." When we sing glory 3 times, there can be nothing greater. It almost approaches the infinite as the significance of the number 3. So Peter's denial of Christ 3 times is a total and utter denial. And Peter knew that. And Christ knows it. And it was done in public. When the people came and asked Peter in the square that night, "Aren't you one of his followers?" 3 times. So Jesus now asked Peter to reaffirm his love 3 times in public, in front of the others. And Peter's response, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus is no longer asking for heroics. He doesn't want just these words of Peter. He's not sneaking an empty show of bravado. He's simply asking Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter now knows his weakness, and he responds in humility and meekness. "Yes, Lord, 3 times. You know that I love you. Follow me." His call to you and to me. His call to our confirmation candidates. His call to each and every one here, whether we are a parent, whether we are a young person in the world, whether we are a doctor, a lawyer, a priest, a religious, whatever we are, a single person in the world, follow me. His call. "Do you love me?" And he desires a public affirmation of that love. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And so attending Mass on Saturday or Sunday is a public affirmation of our love. Getting to confession is a public affirmation of our love. Watching how I speak, the words I use, is not inconsequential. It is a public affirmation of my love. Witnessing to my family, to my friends, to my coworkers, to my fellow students, to complete strangers. "Do you love me? Follow me."